bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
One of my favorite things to talk about is food as medicine. And today we're going to be talking about in regards to sexual health. I am very excited because I have a book coming out next year with Skyhorse Publishing about sexual health and clean eating and fitness. And the chef for my book is the fantastic Aaron McDonald, who joins us now. Hey, Aaron.
Well, happy day to you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am fantastic.
You know, Aaron works with Clean Eating Magazine and she does her Clean Eating Academy and you're their dietitian and you are like the recipe gal. So when I was doing this book and I thought, okay, I need recipes, and I know that you have fantastic recipes and you're so knowledgeable about the micronutrients and what they do and how they help you. So I thought this is perfect. So even though the book's not coming out for a long time, I still wanted to just touch on this, get this topic out there, and pick Aaron's brain and let's talk about sex, baby. All right, Aaron.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself and when you got interested in healthy living and nutrition.
Well, thank you. And thanks so much for having me on. And I'm so excited that you asked me to develop the recipes for your book because it's such an exciting thing for me to do. I love recipe development. I love cooking. I love food. So it's just so natural to take food, which really is medicine, and use it in a way to make it taste amazing and get terrific results out of it. So I've been a registered dietitian nutritionist for 23 years now, and I've been in private practice for a long time. My main focus is my website that I have with my partner, who's also a dietitian, and my cousin, which is YouRockGirl.com. And then, of course, we are the dietitians, like you mentioned, for Clean Eating Magazine and the Clean Eating Academy. So that takes up a lot of my time. I do a lot of writing. I see, you know, private clients, and I do a lot of recipe development, which I seem to be elbows deep in lately because I'm getting all these recipes churned out for you. But one of the exciting things that I do is I do work with a fertility specialist doctor. So I actually specialize in fertility medicine and fertility nutrition. So I'm seeing patients on a regular basis who are trying to get pregnant, struggling to get pregnant, turning to alternative needs methods to try to get pregnant. And I'm trying to be their first line of offense, which is how do we clean up what you're eating so that you can actually boost your fertility?
Oh, that's fantastic. See, I love that. And I think that's so important. Now, I have to say, we don't have that in the book, but I do think that you should write a book on that, Aaron, now that I'm thinking about it, because there's so many women who are having this struggle, or so many couples, I should say. And I don't know if they're always told by their mainstream obstetricians, gynecologists, doctors that they should be looking at food. Do you think they are? Or do you think it's still kind of not where it should be?
It's not where it should be. I would tell you that very firmly. And I'll tell you, I struggled with infertility many, many years ago. So my first three kids are all fertility babies. But my fourth child that I had later in life was a result of me having made so many changes to my own nutrition from my own self-study. And I, surprisingly enough, conceived a child, not expecting it at all. I didn't expect that at 40, my fertility would be on point.
So that's incredible.
Right there. I mean, it's that story. And I tell people, you know, it's really amazing when you clean up what you're eating, which really then means you're cleaning up your gut health. You are then resetting your hormones. And then all of a sudden you have things like reproductive hormones that are now coming back online when they weren't functioning properly. But the relationship between fertility and nutrition is there. We just don't have enough doctors who are in tune about it, spreading the information to their patients or sharing it or, you know, requiring or requesting that they go see a registered dietitian who can actually help them clean up what they're eating and improve their fertility.
Now, with the sexual health, there's actually foods that have been shown, there's science behind it, to actually help with your sexual health. Now, with the fertility, is it more about just eating whole foods and a cleaner diet, or are there specific nutrients, I'm guessing, just like with the sexual health, that helps with fertility?
You know what? It's totally related. So what's good for one is good for the other, because we know that sexual health, which includes things like your libido and your stamina and your performance and having increased blood flow, all those things are the same types of things that are important for fertility.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, that makes sense. That's what I was thinking. And there's so many great foods. I mean, you've got avocados and beets. Beets are great because you got the nitrates with the blood flow and the blueberries and bone broth, which I'm a huge fan of, and chili peppers. You know, I recently, you know, interviewed Michael Farka. He does the Devil's Envy spice, and we put it on everything. And that, I'd have to say, it's definitely working. The dark chocolate and beets. I mean, there's so many wonderful foods. What we got to do, we got to get the processed crap the heck out, right?
Number one most important thing is get the junk out. Get the processed food out, get the junk out, because it's doing nothing but causing more inflammation in your body. And really, inflammation is the root cause of every single dysfunction or disease state you have in your body, whether it's heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, arthritis, you name it. It all starts with an inflammatory condition. And so does your sexual performance. If you are living in a very highly inflamed body, your body is not going to have blood vessels dilating to get blood flow where it needs to go. Your stamina is going to be very low. Quite often, you don't have the same kind of endorphin rush that you need. So we need to be eating a very unprocessed, anti-inflammatory diet. But what I find so many people are focused on are the macronutrients, which are your proteins, carbs, and fats, which is important to make sure that you have them in the correct ratio. But what's more important than just your protein, carb, and fat is your micronutrients, or all your vitamins and minerals and antioxidants. Those are the things that nourish the cell and actually have all the reactions happen within the cell to have the inflammation go down. So when we're looking at micronutrients, we're looking at things like magnesium and zinc and vitamin C and vitamin E. And then we're looking at the amino acids, which is what protein breaks down into. So amino acids like arginine and citrulline, those are very potent vasodilators. So like you had mentioned, beets, we want to make sure that we're getting lots of beets in the diet because, like you said, it's nitric oxide, and nitric oxide, you know, is a vasodilator. Well, they're high in arginine. And then we want to eat things like watermelon because that's high in citrulline, which is a vasodilator as well. So we want to make sure that we're having a really, really nutrient-rich diet that's going to decrease inflammation, improve blood flow, improve your endorphin rush, and make you really, really want to have sex.
Sounds good to me. You know, I'm a big fan of Howard Stern, and Howard and Robin were talking the other day, and Howard was saying how he takes a baby aspirin every day because that's what his doctor recommended. And Robin, who's really into clean eating, said, well, you know, Howard, there are other ways. And she talked about some of this stuff. And I thought it was so cool that they were talking about that because so many people listen. And I'm not telling Howard not to take baby aspirin, not that Howard's listening, although that would be nice, but I'm just saying that it was cool that there's other alternatives, right? And she was talking about turmeric and some of the things you're talking about. So we want to get these micronutrients from food, but a lot of people fall short. Now, it's, you know, we do want people to make changes, but in the meantime, while they're making the changes, should they be taking multivitamins, and what should they be looking for? Just like looking for citrulline on the label, looking for manganese and magnesium. Talk to us about this.
Well, you're not going to find a lot of that on the label. A label is really limited. Okay. You know, really, the label is limited to just, if you flip over any kind of a package, it tells you, you know, your protein, carbs, fats, sodium, sugar, cholesterol. And then when it comes to the micronutrients, it really only covers vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C, maybe calcium. So it's really, really limited in what you're going to find on a label. So you really need to go back to the good old fashioned, eat real food, just real food. So we want to be getting, and primarily real food coming from a plant-based diet. So we start off when we look at all of our plants. I'm putting in the hierarchy of looking at all your different colored vegetables first. And I do encourage people to eat the colors of the rainbow, because the more colors you have, the different nutrients that is associated with each one of those colors. So when you're eating just only green, as healthy as that is, you're missing out on all the benefits from things like beets and tomatoes, which are red, and blueberries, which are blue, and mango, which is orange. You know, so you really want to eat a wide array, a wide variety of the colors of the rainbow. So eating all your veggies. And then I would say second, you know, in the plant kingdom, I would look at would be your nuts and your seeds. And I would put that even above, say, fruit, for example, because nuts and seeds are a beautiful blend of proteins, carbs, and fats, but they have all those healthy essential fats that you need that help decrease inflammation. And one of the really important things that fat does, that eating fat does, is it helps make your sex hormones. So a lot of people who are, say, right, so people who are low in, say, testosterone or their estrogen and progesterone ratios are off aren't eating, number one, the right kinds of fats. They're eating, you know, bad trans fats in the packaged foods that we don't necessarily want to be eating, and not enough of the good, say, monounsaturated fats or the really healthy omega-3 fats that we hear so much about. So, you know, I always say choose plants first, veggies, nuts, seeds, fruits. And when it comes to whole grains, I believe your grains should be whole, but you really don't need as many of them as the standard American diet would like you to have. You know, the standard American diet and the USDA tells you to have, you know, tons and tons and tons of grains and make most of them whole. And what we really have found is that lower the grain intake, but get your good carbs from your veggies, your fruits, you're going to have a better macronutrient distribution, and you're going to actually have better, you know, insulin production, and you're going to have better sex hormone production. So changing the ratio of what we eat and focusing mostly on plants first is key. And then we look to things like healthy protein sources. So eggs, I love wild fish, like wild Alaskan salmon, which happens to be in season right now. Things like wild Pacific halibut, those are things that are really rich in those omega-3 fatty acids that are very anti-inflammatory. So once again, decrease the inflammation, increase your sexual appetite.
Ooh, that sounds good to me. You know, when I asked the question earlier about the labels, I should have been more clear. I'm talking about like vitamins and supplement labels. Should you just grab some magnesium? But I am glad you mentioned that about the food though, too, because I think when people are reading labels, you're not going to get as much information as I wish we did. And that's what we got again, to stay away from the package, eat the real food, and then you know what you're going to get because you can research and see all the great stuff, or just listen to the show, or you know, check you out and listen to all the great things in fruits and vegetables. But, you know, because a lot of people might need to supplement, right? And sometimes it's good. Like, it's good to take your magnesium. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a great question. And you're right. So there are certain minerals, say, like magnesium, for example. And I really dub magnesium the king of all minerals, because magnesium is required in almost every process that goes on in the body that you don't even know about. And most people are walking around magnesium deficient. And magnesium is one of those minerals that actually, you know, can affect your mood and make you feel a little bit calmer and a little more at ease. It's great for your digestive health. And I do think that certain vitamin and minerals should be supplemented, because it's really hard to get a sufficient amount from a really, really clean diet. It's not to say that it's impossible, but sometimes because we're already so deficient, because we're already behind the eight ball so much, we do need a little bit more to play catch up, to get us on into a normal level. And then you really can turn to food just to maintain your healthy, normal level. So quite often I'll recommend people to take, you know, really good quality multivitamin and mineral complex. And that acts more like an insurance policy, where it's filling in the gap. It's not used to replace a garbage diet.
Yes, I like that. A garbage diet. There's another good book title. How to Avoid the Garbage Diet, or How to Change Your Garbage Diet. I like that a lot, Erin. I think we should do that next. All right. This is Foodie Friday. So we're going to jump in. We are going to tease, actually. I'm very excited. Some of the recipes in the upcoming book. I'm not going to give the title yet because it's too soon. And I'm very excited. And of course, we'll be talking about this closer to when the book will be coming out. And we're going to talk about Mexican dark chocolate mousse. Oh my gosh. I love Mexican dark chocolate. That's the cinnamon, right? With the chocolate.
It's cinnamon, and there's also a little bit of chili powder in there for a little bit of kick.
Ooh,
so we do know that, you know, both dark chocolate and chili powder and cinnamon have a lot of, they're high on our list of sexual healing foods. So, and avocados as well. So the secret ingredient in the Mexican chocolate mousse is actually avocados. It gives it a ton of creaminess, but you don't taste the avocado. So we're using some avocados and some raw cacao powder, some raw honey, just a teeny little bit for sweetening, pure vanilla extract, some cinnamon, some chili powder, which is up to you on your heat level, a pinch of pink Himalayan sea salt, all that gets pureed together. And it's this rich, thick, creamy, chocolatey, oh, so good, make you weak in the knees, chocolate mousse. And all of those, and all those ingredients, you've got lots of, you know, magnesium in there, and you've got, you know, your chili powder, that whole spicy thing. You're getting the extra mineralization from a little bit of the pink Himalayan sea salt and the avocados, which we know are really good and healthy fats. You're getting, you know, every ingredient that I seem to pick in all these recipes has a purpose. You know, I'm not putting something in there just to fill space. I want to try to maximize your nutritional bang for your buck in every single ingredient that goes into every single recipe. So, and I'm a chocolate fan. I mean, I'm a total dark chocolate chocolate-holic. So
yes,
when I can
too.
Eat a dessert that I know is rich, thick, chocolatey, yummy, and has benefits, I'm like,
oh, for sure.
Two thumbs up, ready to go.
Oh, yeah. My spoon's ready right here. Let's dig in. That sounds so good. All right. Tell us the other recipe you're going to share.
Okay. So the other recipe that I'm going to share is the wild salmon poke bowl. So poke, if for people who don't know, is super, super popular right now. And poke is a Hawaiian dish, which is basically raw, or you can use, you know, cooked fish that's marinated or seasoned with some, say, sesame seeds and a little bit of, say, soy sauce, maybe rice vinegar, some other kind of Asian sauce. And it's in a bowl where you can use any kind of rice that you like. I'll use a black rice, which I think is super cool looking and super cool tasting, and lots of fresh veggies like shredded carrots and some diced onion and lots of avocado and some cool crisp cucumbers and some fresh cilantro on top. And you just, the whole bowl is light and crunchy and refreshing, but you've got, you know, the omega-3 fatty acids from the wild Alaskan salmon, and you've got all the minerals from all the different veggies. And if you like seaweed, which I absolutely love seaweed, I take some of those seaweed crunchy snacks and I chop them up and I sprinkle them over the top, because sea vegetables like seaweed have a ton of minerals in them too. And it gives it kind of that salty, umami, good down to your bones, you know, feeling and taste. Super easy to assemble. You can basically assemble it with any vegetable you have in your refrigerator. And you don't have to use salmon if you don't like it. You can use ahi tuna if you want. You can use cooked shrimp if you're afraid of raw shrimp. I mean, raw fish. You could do it, if you don't like fish at all, you could substitute in, say, chicken or organic, you know, sprouted like tofu if you wanted, or you could just substitute in some beans if you wanted to keep it completely vegetarian.
Oh, that sounds so good. You know, I want to do a quick shout out to Better Nutrition Magazine. I don't know if people know, but this show is actually created by AIM Media. They do clean eating, which is so cool. We both work with clean eating and Better Nutrition, Amazing Wellness, Vegetarian Time. So if you could use some help incorporating more natural products, remedies, and tips into your life, then Better Nutrition Magazine has what you've been looking for. They created a 90-day program. It's running June through August. It can help you walk through some of the best ways to kick sugar cravings, get better sleep, reduce your stress, and more. It's called Go Natural in 90. You can learn more about this powerful program at betternutrition.com. And best of all, this is very exciting, you can enter to win fantastic and fun prizes throughout the summer, including multivitamins, protein powders, herbs, green foods, probiotics, and more. You know, speaking of clean eating, I would love to know, how did you get involved with them?
Oh my gosh, it's been so many years now. We got involved originally with Clean Eating Sister Magazine, Oxygen Magazine. And then that parlayed us over into Clean Eating Magazine. So we were doing some writing for Oxygen Magazine. And then we got connected with the people over at Clean Eating Magazine and started doing some writing for them. And they asked us to do the Ask the Dietitians column that appears every single month. And then since then, we've done a few different meal plans for them, like their 1 week and their 2 week meal plans. We've written different articles on gut health and weight loss, and really, you know, that all circles around to our Clean Eating Academy, which is called A Whole Life Guide to Lasting Weight Loss, which is a 9-week program that we take you through that is not just your typical eat less, exercise more, and you're going to lose weight. Weight loss is a benefit, but really it's all about how do you improve your health through nutrition and exercise and stress management and proper sleep and proper cooking and shopping and dining out and emotional eating, and learning how to improve your gut health. And during the course of the 9 weeks, the whole goal is to improve your health by decreasing your inflammation, making better food choices. And you'll just, you know, one of the wonderful, beautiful side effects of it happens to be you're going to lose weight.
Yes. And it's so important to do these things. And you are so good at developing recipes. And that's something that is so important because, again, people want things to taste good. And I think it's changing now. But for years, I think people thought, oh, it's healthy. It doesn't taste good. But now we know more and more. There are so many great things. And you are such a wizard with the spices. We only have a few minutes left. But share some of your favorite spices with us that you like to cook with.
Okay. So high on my list of things are smoked paprika. I absolutely love smoked paprika. I love anything with a very smoky feel to it. So there's sweet paprika, there's spicy paprika, there's just plain paprika. But I always go towards the smoked paprika. So that goes into a lot of my recipes, and it just gives it that depth, that warmth. So I love smoked paprika. That's number one in my spice cabinet. I, of course, always default to pink Himalayan sea salt. And I love lemon pepper. So fresh cracked lemon pepper. I just think that because both salt and pepper are used as flavor enhancers, but we don't want to overdo it on the salt. And pepper can come in, you know, pepper can last forever pretty much on your shelf and not really go bad. But I love the lemon pepper because I like the little bit of that acidic pop that you get and that brightness from the lemon. So pretty much everything that I, you know, season is going to be maybe some garlic powder, some onion powder, if I don't already have onions and garlic in a dish, smoked paprika, pink Himalayan sea salt, lemon pepper, and some of my secret ingredients, which really aren't on the shelf per se, but you can create them, is I love to use the zest of all citrus fruits. So lemon and lime and oranges and tangerines. You just get one of those inexpensive microplane zesters and you zest your citrus fruits into your dishes or your salad dressings or whatever you're using. And it adds so much flavor because there's so many essential oils in the peel, so many antioxidants from the rind of any kind of citrus, but it adds this brightness and this just pop of flavor. So if you're going to use a citrus fruit in anything, zest it first. Don't throw away the zest. Zest it first and incorporate it then to everything that you use.
Erin, you are fantastic. You always have such great information. I am just so honored that I get to be working with you, and I can't wait to have you back. In the meantime, tell us all the ways we can find you on social media.
Well, thanks so much, and thanks for having me, and it's my honor to work with you, and I'm so excited. People can find me at urockgirl.com, so that's the letter U, rockgirl.com, and we're on social media and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You go and join the You Rock Girl Sisterhood, which is totally free. You'll get, you know, your free weekly newsletter, which has a recipe of the week and an exercise of the week and links to all the articles we write in different industry publications, and a free ebook right now, which is a dessert ebook. So get some of my best desserts if you go join up and sign up for the You Rock Girl Sisterhood now.
Oh, I'll be doing that. All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. Catch us on social media, Facebook at Talk Healthy Today Podcast, Instagram at Talk_Healthy_Today, Twitter and Snapchat at Talk Healthy2Day. I want to thank everybody for listening. Let's get busy in the bedroom by eating well in the kitchen. Stay well.